Last night, the reason that we said no is because the Lord was changing our direction. And most preachers are not interested in that. I've had some seasoned preachers say to me, said, how do you do that? I said, I don't know how I do that. The Lord does it. I said, it's rough on my nerves, I can tell you that. I was preaching down in Columbia in a men's for Christ meeting, and what I'd studied and had ready for that special occasion, there was a preacher preaching with me, Brother Eddie Davis, and he was preaching first that night, and I could tell he was almost done. I could tell. I've been around him enough. I could tell he was probably within 10 minutes of being done or so. And the Lord let me know real quick, and there was probably 450 people there, men and young men. And the Lord just let me know real quick. He said, this is what I want, and it's different. There's beads of sweat popped out on me that big. I said, Lord, surely you ain't doing that to me tonight. But I know I've learned the hard way. Lord could just sit back and say, okay, let's see what you can do with it. And I know what a miserable outcome that is. And so the Lord was changing my mind last night and changing my heart and settling me down not just something to finish the service with, but I felt like that's what the Lord wanted. Before I got up here, and the reason I said no, I was trying to find a verse of Scripture. And I'm using a new Bible, not a new version, praise God. It's King James, amen. But I was, I'm so used to my old Bible and having it marked up, and I know where it's at and on what side of the page it's on and all that, and I couldn't find a verse to save my life, hardly. And so he said, so instead of coming up here and me yakking, but in my mind I'm trying to find a verse, I just figured I might as well just be honest and say, no, I'm not ready. But when I found the verse, I was ready then, amen. And I felt like the Lord spoke to us. I felt like the Lord helped us. And I'm thankful for what the Lord did after the service last night. You don't hardly ever hear of even people, anybody much getting saved anymore, much less four young people. Amen. And with the conviction that even after the service was over, God was still working. And that the tall fellow that got saved last night, or said he got saved, I didn't know this, I don't think, till maybe last night after the service, the pastor said that he was over there in that corner the whole service. God was dealing with him the whole service. Now, I don't know what y'all think about that. When's the last time you saw conviction get on anybody that they stayed in the altar over 5 minutes? Or even go to the altar, for that matter? I've seen people that I couldn't tell you the last time they ever been in the altar. Have no desire to go to the altar. It don't matter who's preaching. It don't matter what was preached. It don't matter what other people are doing. They don't ever feel led to go to the altar. I got a big problem with that. Everybody in the Old Testament that God used, guess what they had in their life? Altars. Guess who got in a mess in their life? Lot. You know why? He got away from Abraham, Uncle Abraham, and his altars and his influence and his advice. See it? And he lost his family over it. Lost his family over it. Lost his testimony over it. Amen. What he should have done instead of fighting and fussing with Abraham, he should have said, Uncle Abraham, I need you in my life. I need your influence, your prayers. I need your altars. I need your God. I need your wisdom in my life. What do I need to do? What do I need to do to adjust and get right, or whatever we need to do to where we can stay together, labor together, work together, travel together, and accomplish things together. That's what he should have done, but he didn't. He didn't. A lot of help. Listen, I'm on target already. I know I am. I didn't get up here with this, but I know in my heart, I've been in this thing long enough, a lot of help can be had through humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Amen. When's the last time you just came either to an altar or bowed in your home and you said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I bow before you. I humble myself before you. Amen. 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 Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's right. There's nothing wrong either, too, according to Hebrews 13. Submit yourself to those that have authority over you, that have the rule over you, that speaks to you the word of God. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with coming to your pastor and say, preacher, what do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? I've got some people in my church. I say my church, it's not my church, it's the Lord's church. But you know what I'm talking about. And they've come to me before and they said, preacher, if you see anything in my life that needs addressing, don't hesitate. And one of those men that did that several years ago, he pastored a church up the road from us 18 years. He was ordained, sent out of our church, pastored up there, and because of health issues, he's had to resign. And he's still serving God today because of that. Amen. A real man of God won't take advantage of you when you're humble and you say, preacher, if you see something in my life, amen. You help me with it. You help me with it. Amen. And don't get mad when he does point something out. That's right. Amen. And God will, listen, your relationship to your pastor is big. That's big. And I know there's a lot of family in here. I'm not sure who's who in here as far as family, but I know there's a lot of family here, relatives, connections in that way. And Brother Michael John is in that family, I guess through marriage. You don't have any of your personal family here, do you? Oh, of course. Of course. How did I get over that? How did I miss that? I'm 60 now, so y'all just pray. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. How did I miss that? I knew that. Good night. Have mercy. But anyway, it's easy, though, when there's connections on a natural level, earthly level, it's easy to let that be the governing factor and not allow the spiritual level to take over. Amen. Miriam and Aaron had problems with Moses. You know why? Because that was their brother. Amen. It's hard to submit. But I tell you who gave us a good example of submission to someone else because of a spiritual influence was Elizabeth. In Luke chapter number 2, Elizabeth was older than Mary, and when Mary come to her and told her what Gabriel had told her and what had happened to her and that she had within her, conceived within her of the Holy Ghost, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they were cousins, yet we find that Elizabeth said to Mary and called her the mother of my Lord. She respected the spiritual over the natural. Amen. And I've never said those things before, so I don't want you to think that I'm saying here what I've said in all the other churches. What I just said, I have never said before in my life. Amen. And so I want to ask you tonight to just listen, where this church will be, and I felt this all day long, where this church is going to be in the future, 6 months, 6 years, whatever, I believe is being determined, not just in this revival, but in this period of time that you're in right now at Morningstar. I believe with all of my heart. I don't know what all's attached to that statement. I don't know how deep that is or how wide that is or how high that is, but that's been on me all day to share that with you, that where this church is going is being determined not just this week, but during this period of time. It may have been a few weeks ago up to a few weeks into the future, but it's through this process of period of time that God is trying to move. Brother Rochester, I think, said to me last night, he couldn't remember, or it's been a long time since anybody been saved. I think you said that, or it's been a long time, or something to that effect. And I want to tell you what I believe it is. I believe that during the course of this meeting, or at least in this meeting, maybe before this meeting, some people that are saved has been getting right with the Lord. People that are saved has been starting to seek God. I've noticed it Monday night and Tuesday night that God's bringing people to a place to where you're going to have to make a decision. We're going to go forward. And that's a dangerous position to get in, especially if you're looking at it with reluctance. If you're looking at a position, ask the children of Israel, Kadesh Barnea, if it's not costly when God brings you to a place and you're hesitant about going forward. When God brought the children of Israel to Kadesh Barnea and they hesitated and they backed up and they said no and all of that, how many knows what happened? God turned them around and put them back into the wilderness where they roamed for 40 years. Did you get that? It was 40 more years before they ever come back around and gave another opportunity to cross over into God's perfect will. You can't treat, we can't, I can't, you can't treat God just like His commandments or His offers or His leadership is well, take it or leave it. No. I believe that with all of my heart. I shared it with Samuel last night that I believe that God has already, just in two nights, brought this church to a place to where you're at a crossroads where you're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to go down and be less than we were, or are we going to obey and go forward? Are we going to go forward and upward? Are we going to be more for God in the future than we've ever been? And before I left my pew, I'm going to mind the Lord tonight. If that bothers you, you just have to take a nerve pill when you get home. Before I left the pew tonight, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I want to share it with you with this one question, simple question. Are you existing? Just existing as a Christian. Just existing, and that's it. Or is there the element of enjoying, and you're just existing, or are you enjoying? Most people in church, they're and you can. A lot of things. You can go through hard times, and if you're not careful, hard times will make you hard. Difficult times will make you difficult. Difficult to deal with, difficult to live with, difficult to talk to, whatever. Listen, our circumstances can have a conforming effect on our life. We can start assuming and living according to what we're going through. I believe God wants us to do that. I don't believe God wants us to do that. I believe God wants us to live the victorious Christian life no matter what's going on in our life. Amen. When's the last time? I'm asking. I'm not asking for an answer verbally. I'm just asking for you to answer it in your own heart. When's the last time, specifically you that belong to Morningstar, when's the last time you sat in a service here and God warmed your heart? God stirred your heart. God has done something in your heart. Amen. And you was aware of it. And you were conscious of it, that God is getting personal with me and that God is helping me and that God is stirring me. You'd be shocked. I mean, people sit through service after service after service, week in and week out, month in and month out, and even possibly year in and year out, and they cannot tell you, I don't ever remember. I can't remember the last time God warmed my heart in a church service. Now, I want to tell you, you'll never live long enough to convince me that that's the will of God. And I want to say this too, you'll never blame what I just described on a virus. When we get to the judgment seat, I promise you, you will not be able to say to the Lord, well, the reason I wasn't what I supposed to be was because of all the pandemic and all the mess that hit our country and all of that. No, friend, I'll tell you what the virus has done, or the pandemic, whatever you want to call it, I'll tell you what it's done. It's manifested the church. I was talking to a pastor that it was today or yesterday, I believe it was, and he said what all that's going on in our land, and I hate every bit of it, don't you? I hate it. But I'm still here and we're still alive and God's got a purpose for us, and so we need to just learn to deal with it and go forward and pray about it and trust God with the results. I don't know what else to do, and I think that's the right thing to do. But I believe God has allowed that, amen, God has allowed what's been going on to surface, bring to the surface to where it is evident what condition the church is in. I'm talking about the church, not people individually, that could be said too, but I'm talking about the church in general. I believe that. God help us. If we're going to face what's coming, amen. You that was telling me today that China and Russia has already linked up. Did y'all hear that? I'd never heard that. He said it's been in the news for the last 2 or 3 days. China and Russia linking up together. Y'all do know that that's going to happen when they come down on Israel. And we're living to see it. We're alive. We're the generation that's witnessing that take place. Would have ever thought, I would have never dreamed that China and Russia would link up. And they know that America's weak and vulnerable right now and could be taken over easily. Bible prophecies being fulfilled. We're on the very threshold of the coming of the Lord. Jesus Christ, I know you've heard it all your life. I've said it all my life. I've heard it all my life. And I know the scoffers make fun of it and say, that we've always heard that it's been said that Jesus is coming. And where is the promise of his coming? He hasn't come. Amen. But that don't change nothing. That don't change not one thing, amen? It don't change nothing. The atheists and the evolutionists say that there was no creation, that it all just evolved and it was a big bang. But the Bible said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Them saying that it didn't happen don't change nothing. Them saying that Jesus is not coming is not going to change nothing, amen? He's coming. He's coming. Are you ready? You better get in while the getting's good. Amen. The wisest choice that Bryce, is it Bryson? Bryson and these others, Noah and the girl's name. Jayla. Those are the three that are here tonight that made the move to get saved last night. That's the wisest choice that you could ever make in your life. Amen. Amen. Because you know what's connected to that? Heaven. You know what's connected to that? Not going to hell. You know what's connected to that? Having your forgiven you. Amen. Thank God. Jesus is your Lord. And it's not that Bryson and the other two just got saved. No, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside that will give them power to live the Christian life. The nature of God comes on the inside that enables them to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to these three, I want to say to these three that got saved last night, I want to say to you, do not live like most church members. Amen. I've never said that before in my life either. Amen. And I'm not saying that just here. I could say that in my church, our church where I pastor, and mean it. I've got people in my church that I would not want our young converts to pattern their life after. Amen. Jesus is your example. Jesus is the standard. Amen. Pattern your life after the principles laid out in the Scripture, because you can look around at people in the church and you'll find people that's in the church that's not doing it. They're not even interested in doing it. You'll find people, listen, you like being preached to, don't you? Amen. You're in the family of God now, you're going to get preached to. There's people that say they're saved, never testify. They couldn't remember the last time they've ever testified. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The reason a lot of people's not saying so, they don't have anything to say. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Jesus is coming. If I didn't come in here and do anything but tell you that right there, amen, and direct your attention to the Bible, that Jesus Christ, amen, the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ arise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. For comfort one another with these words, Jesus is coming. And what makes that such a blessing is, I'm leaving. When He comes, I'm leaving. Because He's coming after me. He's coming after you if you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Are you leaving when He comes? Thank God. I know that I'm S-A-V-E-D. I know I've been born from above. Thank God heaven is my home. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down, old Brother Mays Jackson used to say. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Are you ready? Are you ready? You can be saved and not be ready. Amen. Being saved deals with your residence. But being ready might deal with your rewards. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. But I don't get any rewards because I'm saved. I get rewards because I've served. Amen. There won't be any gifts given out at the judgment seat. Oh yeah, I thought I'd let y'all know that. Y'all need to know that. There won't be no gifts. You know what a gift is? Something that was given to you that you didn't do nothing for it. No, there won't be any gifts given at the judgment seat, but there will be crowns and rewards given, and that is in response to and a blessing to your service on earth. I want you to get this tonight. I want you to get this tonight. How you're living now is going to determine a great deal in eternity. Brother Jackie, I'm confident people don't think about that. They think they can live whatever way now. I'm talking about people that are saved. They can live whatever way now, and when they get to heaven, y'all better not get in my way. I'll run over you. Right down the Hallelujah Boulevard. You better not get in the way. Show me that in the Bible. The only thing I know that's going to change when Jesus comes, my body's going to change. I'm going to get a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. No more bad reports, no more surgeries. Thank God, ain't that a blessing? No more aches and pains. Oh, glory to God. My body's going to change. And boy, I could preach on that. Amen. And those of you that knows what pain is, Amen. Knows what back pain is and know what all those kinds of pains are and sicknesses are. Guess what? It ought to thrill your soul to know that, thank God, I'm not just going to heaven. I'm going to drop off this old robe of flesh, this old robe of flesh that's going back to the dust from whence it came. It's going, amen, amen, hallelujah. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Thank God, this old mortal's going to put on immortality. And this corruption's going to put on incorruption. Amen, that's right. And we're going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. My body's going to change. My body's going to change. Amen. My address is going to change. Right now, it's a little street ain't this big in Rogersville, Tennessee. Can't even find it with a GPS, hardly. That's my address now. But one of these days I'm going to have an address change. And that is, I'm moving from here to the glory world to be with the Lord. My body's going to change. My address is going to change. But you know what's not going to change? My spiritual condition. You cannot show me, or at least I've not found one verse in the Bible that shows that you can leave here cold and carnal and out of fellowship with God and distant from God and, amen, and worldly and everything else, and then arrive in heaven and just be everything is, woo, glory to God. I don't believe a word of that. Show it to me. I don't want to preach anything false. How you live is determining. There in 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about, as one star differs from another in glory, so shall also be the resurrection of the dead. Amen. What is it that causes the stars to be different in brightness and all of that? What causes that? And just as some are brighter and some are bigger and some are smaller and some you can't even see, he compared that to the resurrection of when we are raised to, amen, into that glorified state that we're raised, and what determines that? What we did for Christ, how we served Him, were we faithful, it's going to impact us not just on our arrival time in heaven, but for the rest of an endless eternity. My little 70, 80 years of life, whatever Lord graces me for it to be, it's going to have an impact on my forever. Oh, I'm on something right here, preacher. Listen, the devil whispering in your ear about quitting and throwing in the towel as a Christian or on your marriage or on or whatever, serving God. Let me tell you something, friend. Listen, when you're thinking about quitting, if you're not careful, all you'll think about is just the right now and now. That if I quit, then maybe this battle will subside. If I quit, maybe it'll be easier. Amen. But you better think, if I quit, what's going to be the ramifications of it in heaven? What's going to be the results of it in heaven? What's going to be the consequences of 10 million years from tonight? He said, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Is that not future tense? He said, while you was on earth, while you were saved and you was living earthly, the Christian life, you were faithful over a few things. God said, I noticed that. God said, I took record of that. God said, I recorded that. And as a result, in eternity future, I'm going to put you up in places of responsibility where you're going to be ruler over many things. A lot of people don't think about that. They're playing games with their spiritual life. Playing games, think they're going to get off the hook. No, friend. We're going to be held accountable. We're going to be held accountable. We're preaching on everything tonight. My goodness. Amen. The Lord does that to me sometimes. I don't know why, but that's fine. Let me give you something to think about. A lot of people think when they go to the judgment seat or the bema seat of Christ that they're going to tell God a few things or ask God a few things. Brother, I don't believe that's going to be the case. I don't believe at all that when we get to the judgment seat that we'll be mouthing off and, Lord, well, why did you not do this? And why did you allow that? No, there won't be any questions. In fact, I can't find anywhere in this King James Bible where any of us will be opening our mouth at the judgment seat. I mean, after all, what are you going to tell the one that knows everything? Are you going to argue with Jesus who knows everything? No. But I did find where I believe there's going to be one voice that's going to be at the judgment seat. And it's the only one that I think that I can find. And I believe this is when it's going to happen. The Bible says, and listen to it, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Let me find it. I'm in my new Bible here. I can't find nothing. Verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I can't say dogmatically, but I really do believe that that verse right there applies to the pastor. They're the ones that's watching for your souls. They're the ones that's going to give an account. When is that giving account going to happen? I believe it's going to be at the judgment seat. When it's your turn to stand, I believe God's going to bring your pastor up and say, give a report about this young lady or this young man or this whatever. And he said, this is going to be unprofitable for you. If it's a bad report, it's going to be unprofitable for you. Make sure that he can do it with joy and not with grief. So that means that there's a possibility that report can be given with grief. Whose grief? The pastor's grief. Brother Rochester, I believe with all my heart that really means that God's going to let the pastor tell it. Just like he felt it. And if he gives a report of grief and a report of that's negative, that's not going to be profitable for you. Amen. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you got a Bible, you study it out and see what your answer is on it. Amen. I want to ask you some questions tonight. I want you to turn to John 2. I see what time it is. I'm not going to preach the whole thing tonight, but I want to ask you some questions. John chapter 2. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord Jesus. Well, I need God to help us. I want God to help us tonight. God has been trying to help us. I don't know what went on Sunday, but I know Monday and Tuesday, God has been trying to help us. Amen. Hallelujah. There's help for us if God is trying to help us. When God is speaking, there's hope for us if God is speaking. If God is not speaking, we're in trouble. If God becomes silent to Morning Star Baptist Church, if God becomes silent to you as a person or me as a person, that is a bad sign. Malachi was the last book of the Old Testament. And you know what? He dealt with sin. He dealt with sin in that book. And evidently those people did not respond and did not repent. And as a result, guess what happened? He shut up for 400 years. We need God speaking. Why was it that Grayson was troubled last night? Why was it that Noah was troubled? Like both Noahs, two of the young men was named Noah. They were troubled, and this young lady troubled. What was that? Was that daddy speaking to them, or was that a church member speaking to them, or was that the preacher speaking to them? Was that a singer speaking to them? No, you know why they were you know why they were troubled? Amen. And lay over there all night and went home and got home and still troubled and had to do business. You know why? It was somebody besides church people and the preacher speaking to them. It was God speaking to them. You want to see people get saved? God's got to speak to them. But we can silence him. We can grieve him. We can quench him. Amen. Amen. We all know and we do believe. How many of you believe that God wants to save sinners? Of course, it's in the Bible, clear as a bell. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen, that's right. He's more wanting to save sinners than sinners are wanting to be saved, and even more than God's people wants him to save sinners. But nobody will ever get saved till God speaks to them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. I understand that's preaching and all of that, but if you look it up, that word is not logos there. That word is rhema, which means a personal word. God gets personal to you. God calls you. God puts an invitation on you, and he gets your attention, and he's dealing with you. That's when you can get in. That's when you can get saved. Listen, there's people in churches, there's people in our church that I don't believe God ever speaks to. And that's a shame. That's a shame, friend. Amen. My sheep know my voice. Jesus talks to his own. Jesus talks. Listen, you may not be a sheep if he never talks to you. If he never talks to you. That church is nothing more than just religion. It's just a religious thing that I do. It's not a life. Church is a life, not a location. Amen. John 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water new, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when men as well have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Notice this verse 11. This is the outcome of that first miracle. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? I'm talking about verse 11. I'd like to see God move somewhere. I'd like to see God move to where that verse number 11 would be the description of the outcome. What do you mean, preacher? This beginning of miracle. In other words, Jesus did something here that hadn't been done before by that word beginning. Would you like to most people want, in revival, they want a duplicate of something before. They want something that's happened before. They may even only want what they've had before. But Jesus is able to take you to another level. This beginning, thank God, Jesus is able to start something. Jesus is able to do here what he has never done before. Would you like to see that? Would you like to be a part of that? I was talking to Brother Jarvis today and my sister, and we were talking about some of the revivals that we've known about, the great revival that hit East Otoe Baptist Church up in Pickens County, South Carolina, and my grandpa Chapman was involved in that, and some of the other older men of God in those days, and how they baptized, I forgot how many bootleggers, and I'm talking about what wicked people that got saved in that revival meeting, and they baptized them out in a cow pasture pond, and there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come from everywhere. And they had Dr. Seitler going to preach that day, that on that Sunday. He couldn't even get in the church. There were so many people. He had to go out and up in the road. He had to get up in the road and preach off of the bank to that vast congregation of people that had went up into that. I'm talking about way back in the middle of nowhere to preach in that service of that baptismal service where all them bootleggers got saved and all them wicked people got saved by the grace of God. They'd never seen nothing like that. They'd never seen, they'd seen revivals, they'd had revivals. That church was known for being old-fashioned and God moving in it and God, speaking uniquely through that church and stuff. But they'd never seen nothing on that level. They made news, there was newspaper articles and everything else about that. I've got clippings of it in my house, amen, where Grandpa Chapman preached and all those other men that was assisting him as well, and how God used them. They saw something hadn't been done before. How many of you seen a revival that shut down any of the alcohol industry? How many of you have seen a revival that shut down a lot of wickedness and a lot of abortion clinics and a lot of places like that? They shut down. Why? They didn't have no business. Why? Because everybody was getting saved. We act like we read about, we could talk about some of those revivals, and people look at you like, preacher, is that realistic? Is that not? You know what would make a person say that? We've got so accustomed to seeing God do very little that to hear that he can do a big thing, he can begin a miraculous thing, he can do a supernatural thing. It's almost like we're listening to something fiction. We're almost acting like that it's a fairy tale, that it's something that is not possible, not in this wicked hour that we're living in. Amen. This beginning of miracles, Jesus steps up to the plate and he started. That was the beginning of his earthly ministry. Not just the beginning of his earthly ministry, that was the beginning of the miracles that he would do. It was the first one. A word miracle there is supernatural. We've got so accustomed to our church functioning in the realm of the natural that we don't even think about God moving in the supernatural. Salvation is a supernatural thing. Somebody getting saved is a supernatural thing. God answering prayer is a supernatural thing. Amen. 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 That's right. Oh my, we need God to help us tonight. Amen. For that outcome right there. This beginning of miracles. I was reading that the other day at my house. I was reading this passage of Scripture. And that word this, God just jumped off the page at me. This beginning of miracles. That word, when you're talking about something and you're referring to this, like for instance, this communion table. I'm pointing out something that's in my presence. I'm not talking about something of yesteryears. I'm not talking about something hopeful in the future. I'm talking about what I'm looking at. Amen. We don't need a revival, that's hemmed up in the past or might possibly happen in the future. We need a revival to where we can talk about it. This revival that came at Morning Star Baptist Church in the month of March in 2021, and lives were changed, and fire, spiritual fire, spread across this part of the country. And as I was sitting there at the table today, and we were talking about that revival and our godly heritage that we have. And this church has got a godly heritage. And you better not squander it. You better not waste it. Amen. Amen. Need to get in here and go with God and something for the Lord. The need is great, and the time is quickly passing. Time is quickly passing. We don't have much time to do all that needs to be done. And we cannot afford to waste a service. We cannot afford to have one dead service. Not one dead service. We cannot afford for sinners to come on, sit on these pews and leave lost. You may not get but one shot. You may not get but one opportunity at some. They'll come in, they'll sit, and they'll leave. And may never come back. Yeah. And I promise you one thing. Whether it's in our church, this church, or what church. If they come in and they sit in on a dead service, I promise you they will not get saved. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That's what the angel said. You can't find a living Lord in a dead outfit. Amen. A dead church. Amen. And sinners are seeking. Sinners are looking. They've got questions. They know things are happening. I've had lost people even tell me it appears that Jesus is coming soon. Well, where are they going to look for the answer? The first place they're going to go is church. And they don't even know really which church to go to. They don't know one from another. But what if they were to come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? What if they come in here tonight? What if they're sitting on these pews tonight? Or tomorrow? Or Friday? The atmosphere is critical. The atmosphere is critical. What develops the atmosphere? What is it that brings about a spiritual atmosphere in our church? It's what radiates off of every believer. Amen. I probably have said this here before, but you can't have an Acts chapter 2 revival until you have an Acts chapter 1 revival. Acts chapter 1, that's when the 120 was in the upper room and they were in one mind and one accord. And they were involved in a 10-day prayer meeting. And what happened in chapter 2? Peter preached one message. 3,000 people were saved. We might preach 3,000 messages and one get saved. But what they did in that passage, Brother Jackie, will work today. One mind, one accord, get together. Amen. Those were different people. That was 120 different people, different personalities, different likes and different dislikes. But they were willing to shift, put aside what was not important and focus on what was important. And that was the power of God. Amen. If God would have been looking in the average church today for 120 that was one mind and one accord before he saved 3,000 people, he had never saved 3,000 people, because he can't hardly find five people in the average church that's of one mind and one accord. Amen. Divided, split ups, amen, fussing, amen. I know what I'm talking about. And our church is not near where we need to be. And I address that from the pulpit. We're not near where we need to be in our relationships one with another. Brother Samuel's here, he can testify that I'm telling it right. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, that I've noticed over the 28 and a half years I've been at RBT that when we've got good harmony in the house of God, and there's a good relationship between the pews and the pews and the pew and the pulpit, that God is moving. But when it's split up and divided and fussing and fighting, and this one's mad at that one, and this one don't like that one, and amen, all of that mess, I'm telling you, it gets tight. It gets locked down. The Holy Ghost is grieved. The Holy Spirit of God is quenched. And God is limited at what He's able to do. Amen. This beginning of miracles. When I was reading that the other day, and that word "this" stuck out, also that word "ing," this beginning, a start, but not the stop. We need God to do, not to be done. We need God to move. Amen. We need God to work and have a starting place, but then it continues. Beginning means it's ongoing. This beginning of miracles with an S. The one I just read to you was just one. That was the first one, but it was just one. But it said this beginning of miracles. It had an S. In other words, God wants to do something here, but it just be the beginning. So that listen, God could do something next week. God could do something in your life and ongoing. But you know that what we're talking about tonight really won't mean nothing much to anybody much if you're not wanting God to do something. As we was talking about them revivals today, I'm telling you, I felt tears swelling up in my eyes. And I even said to my sister and brother-in-law, I said, boy, I'd sure like to see one of those in my lifetime. I'd like to see. I got saved in a seven-week revival on the second night. I saw things that I've not seen since. Amen. I've saw revival since, but not on that level. It was beyond description. It was beyond description what God did. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I don't know how many people got saved. I don't remember how many young preachers come out of that meeting. That's still serving God today. That's still serving God today. Amen. Churches, my home church came out of that meeting. My home church came out of that meeting. Are y'all listening? And it's still got lights on and still got supporting missionaries and still serving God. Amen. Still got preaching going on. And the pastor that's there now went to Bible college with me, and Brother Samuel's been there and preached in the very pulpit that I used to preach in. Are y'all listening? Your mindset on what you're wanting not only to see God do in this day, but what are you wanting Him to do next week? What are you wanting Him to do next month? What are you wanting Him to do next year? God can't use everybody because everybody is not interested in God using them. God's looking for a man or a woman or a boy or girl that's got a heart for Him. Can He find such a person here? Can He find such a person on your pew? This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory. He works and the supernatural is taking place that only He can do. Guess what happens? He gets the glory. And it ought to bother us if He's not getting the glory. It manifested His glory, and look at the last thing it said. And His disciples believed on Him. They were already disciples. They were called disciples actually in verse number 2. And Jesus was called and his disciples. Well, what does it mean the disciples believed on him? When they watched Jesus work, when they saw Jesus do what he did, the supernatural power that came from their Savior, King. You know what it did? It developed their faith to another level. Their assurance went to another level. Their confidence in the Lord went to another level. Their faith in the Lord went to another level. Amen. Jesus dealt with people, oh, ye of little faith. If you can have little faith, and then he's dealt with others in the New Testament and said they had great faith. So if you have little faith and great faith, what determines that? I believe in light of this verse, it's your exposure. Your exposure to what Jesus is doing. And it stirs your faith. And it's, you see God answer prayer. You see God work in your family. You see God save sinners like he did last night. Oh my, what does that do to you? That stirs your confidence. Amen. When you see, listen, when you see God doing that for these kids that got saved last night, and maybe your kids are not saved, you know what that ought to do to you? It ought to stir your faith to believe, amen. God, if you can save them, you can save mine. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, God. He can do it, amen. He can do it. We need God to work in such a fashion that it will stir our faith, amen, to increase. Let me give you one thing here. I'm not going to go any further, but I want to give you this. This really caught my attention as I was reading it the other day. And I wasn't planning on preaching this tonight, but that's all right. I'd like to develop it, but that'll have to be for another day. Look at verse number 2. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Jesus was present before the problem ever occurred. Watch this now. I saw, the Lord showed this to me. Jesus was on the scene at their invitation. The Bible said Jesus was called and his disciples. They wanted them there. But they just wanted him there to be one of the number and in the mix. He was there, but he had no authority. He was there, but he was, I'm talking about initially. He was there, but he was there in person, but he did not display any power. He had no preeminence. He had no prominence. He was just there. He was just one of the number. He was just one of the mix. And that's what most people, that's what most churches, that's all they want out of Jesus. We just want you around. We don't want you to be an authority. We want your presence, but we don't want your performance. We want your presence, but we don't want your power. We want your presence, but we don't want you to mess nothing up. Boy, that dealt with me, I'm telling you. But what was it that brought Jesus into the picture? What brought Jesus in to being just present, performing? The word that's found in verse 3. And when they wanted. I heard it said in the service Monday night. I don't remember who it was here. It may be somebody here or somebody that was another. But they were here Monday night. And they were right here in front of the communion table. And they was telling me, preacher, we don't want it. People don't want what we, you know, they just, if you want it, you'll go after it. And I remember that. And again last night, the word wanted showed up. It spoke, somebody just talking around me or maybe even to me that came up again. Wanted. What do you want? I've even asked that question the last two nights. What do you want? You remember that? What do we want? If we don't want it, we'll never have it. They wanted. They started wanting. It wasn't the want. They weren't wanting Jesus. They weren't wanting what Jesus could do. They were just wanting. If you got a want, here's the thought that's on my mind for the service to close with. God can work. As in this passage, God can work where there's a want. Do you have a want? What do you want? Is it spiritual? Is it something from God, or is it, and is it something for God, or is it something for yourself? God can work where there's a want. Monday night, I started seeing a want. Tuesday night, I started seeing a want. Amen. Nobody will ever get saved till they want it. Amen. I wrote this down. I wrote this down sitting right over there a few moments ago. A need and a want can be two separate things. In other words, I can need what I don't want, and I can want what I don't need. So those could be two separate things, or else it could be two separate levels. What it is that I'm needing, I do want it. You can have something that you need and not want it. I was preaching a revival not long ago, and I'll tell you this quickly. I was preaching a revival not long ago, and I was preaching, and I'd come up and down. I move around when I'm preaching, unless it's tied. If it's tied, I don't never move. I'm trying to endure thin and get done. But when I was up and down on this side of the pulpit, and I saw it, but it never stuck out to me. It never caught my attention. There was a basket sitting there. There was a basket sitting there, and I was going up the steps, and I looked down and saw it, and I stopped, and I said, what is it? And I reached down and got it. I said, what is that? And I could tell it was filled with folded up pieces of paper that people had wrote on it and folded up and put it. And the preacher was on the front row, and he said, that's our needs basket. And I got to talk to him after the service more about that. And he said, that just occurred on Sunday before I had come on Monday. And he said what it was that people had wrote down personal needs. Maybe it was for themselves, their family, or whatever, or their church. But they wrote it down and folded it up and put it in that needs basket. I used that needs basket almost every night through that revival. I'd pick it up and I'd reach in and just grab one. I wouldn't open it up because it was personal. I'd just reach one. I said, I don't know who wrote that, but that's a need. Yeah. Will it be okay that this whole revival comes and goes and that doesn't get done? That doesn't get answered? Yeah. Listen, by the end of the week, I'm talking about needs and wants here. By the end of the week, guess what we were hearing come from the congregation? There would be some standing up and said, preacher, I'm talking about tears. They'd be weeping. They said, preacher, I put a need in that basket, but I really didn't want it. Another one would stand up and say, preacher, I put a need in that basket, but the Lord's really dealt with me this week because what I put in that basket was selfish. I heard two or three of those. Preach, I put a need in there. I'm talking about needs. You can have a need, but do you want it? What is it do we want? What do we want? What do we want from God and for God in these days? Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Don't let this revival effort pass you by. It's got momentum. I agree with that. It's got momentum. This meeting's got momentum. I don't believe it's where God wants it to be. It's good. God's been gracious, but I don't believe it's where God wants it to be. I don't believe it's where the level God wants it to be on. What if God uses the same measurement as He does in John 2? Do you have a need? Oh yeah, preacher, we got a need. But it didn't say in when they needed wine, it said in when they wanted wine. And that word wanted means to suffer need. Suffer need. That means I've got a need and I'm feeling it. I've got a need and I'm grieving over it. I need that need fulfilled. Amen. That same word wanted there, in verse number three, is the same word that's used in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal, when the prodigal said, and when he began to be in want. Business picked up. When he began to be in want, that's when everything started turning around. That's when his mind started leaving the far country and at least going back mentally to the Father's house and said, my Father has hired servants and bread enough to spare. It all started when he began to be in want. God can work when there's a want. And if that's true, and I believe it's biblically illustrated through the Scriptures, where God can work where there was a want, then the opposite probably is true as well. God cannot work where there is not a want. If you want to see where you are tonight spiritually, look at your desires. If you want to see where you are in relation to God, look at your desires. When you're starting to get away from God, one of the first things that begins to show that you're getting away from God will be your desires. God can work where there's a want. Let's stand with it, please. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. Lord, may we investigate and examine our heart to see, Lord, what kind of desires do we have? Lord, are we consciously aware tonight of any spiritual needs in our life? Do we need power? Do we need the anointing of God? Do we need the touch of God? Do we need conviction back in the service? Do we need, Lord, harmony and unity in the house of God? Lord, the future of Morningstar is at stake spiritually. Lord, I pray that you'll help them, Father. Lord, help Brother Rochester, the pastor, and his wife and family. Lord, help the church to rally together. Lord, it's time, Lord. Lord, I know every church, probably no doubt every church, God has got some measure of division in it. And Lord, I pray that you'll help our church in Rogersville, Tennessee. Lord, we're not where we need to be in our relationships, and I've been preaching about that, and I've been trying to point that out to our people, Lord, that Lord, we could have that dealt with so we could see the power of God in these last days, in these difficult days, Lord, that we could see a church that's effective for the Lord. Lord, there's lost people all around Morningstar Baptist Church. Lord, this place is booming everywhere I look, just about it. I saw houses being built and businesses going up and everything. Lord, this is a booming section. And it seems to be that on one end of us, unions are coming this way, and on the other side, Spartanburg's coming this way. And Lord, it needs desperately, Lord, for Morningstar Baptist Church to be on fire for God. It needs to be filled with the Spirit of God, anointed of God. Lord, we pray for Brother Rochester, Lord, that you will, God, give him wisdom to lead this flock. Lord, help the flock to submit themselves and dear Father, to honor the man of God and take care of the man of God. Pray for the man of God. Lord, this church has had a godly heritage for many years. And Lord, you mean for that to continue. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that this will become a powerhouse more than it's ever been. Souls will be saved, not just one every now and then, or one here and there, but Lord, there'd be a regular occurrence of people walking the aisles. Lord, when God's people starts getting right with God, getting right with one another, getting right with the pastor, whoever it is, husband and wives getting right, children and parents getting right, Lord, when people starts getting right, people will start getting saved. I've noticed that. I've seen that so many times. The first few days of revival, God's people getting right. And then sinners starts getting saved. And we're even seeing that already here, Lord. And I can't help but believe, Lord, it's because there's been a few, at least a few of your people, Lord, that has been making some moves towards you and praying and seeking your face, Lord, and turning from sin and having a desire, Lord, to walk in fellowship with God. And they're seeing sinners getting saved this week already. Lord, I don't know what the future holds, but we should want everything we can get from you, Lord, and for you. Lord, those that are on fire, help them to stay that way. Lord, those that may be just existing, those that are just existing, they come to church, but that's it. They're here physically, but that's it. Please help them, Lord, to realize, Lord, that their spirituality matters. Whether they pray or not matters. Whether they walk with God matters. Whether they really do have a relationship with you, that matters. Please, Lord, have your way. Allow this church to come together, harmony, unity, under the leadership of the man of God that you've placed here for such a time as this. Lord, I thank you for the growth of the church, Lord. Thank you for those that have joined up and those that will be joining. We thank you for that. We pray your will to be done, Lord. We're needy people, Lord. And we need your mercy. We need your grace. Help us, Lord, to do what we'll wish we'd have done. Lord, when we face this revival meeting at the judgment seat, Lord, help us to do now what we will wish we would have done then. As we give a confession, as we give an account, Lord, of what we did and how much did we pray, and were we willing to make any changes? Were we willing to apologize? Were we willing to get right? Lord, I pray that all bitterness will be dealt with, conviction will settle in, and all division will be dealt with tonight. Please, Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts. Lord, without unity, you said, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Without unity, Lord, there'll be this church and its effectiveness will be very limited. And the same can be said in the church that I pastor. And I've witnessed that myself, that where there's division and disunity and disharmony, and there's grudges and revenge and resentment, evil speaking and clamor and malice, tale-bearing and gossip. Lord, when it's all that going on, Lord, it grieves the Holy Ghost and it keeps sinners from getting saved. It keeps God from being glorified and it gives the victory to the devil. I pray, Lord, that people be willing, Lord, to humble themselves and to get right with the Lord and get right with one another. That this church can go to another level and then yet another level and yet another and another and another right on up till we leave this world. God, help us, I pray. May your will be done, Lord. Help us to roll that in our mind, the thought God can work where there's a want. And help us to be honest with ourselves tonight as we leave here in a moment. As we leave, may we be honest and say, Lord, I'm just being honest, Lord. I don't have much of a spiritual want in me. Or they may even have to say, I don't have any spiritual want in me. I'm just surviving. I'm stuck. I'm just in a fix. I just don't have no joy. I'm miserable. God, I pray you'll help them, Father, to look and see and make sure that they truly do know you as their Savior. Lord, tonight's service has been uncommon. It's been a different, not a bad different, but just a different. And Lord, I pray that you'll get our attention. Lord, I don't know what you need to do to get our attention. Lord, I pray that you'll deal with hindrances. God, I pray that you'll deal with blockages. God, whatever it is that's blocking the move of the power of God, Lord, may that be dealt with and pointed out by the Spirit of God with conviction. Lord, I pray you help your people. You said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, you said judgment must begin at the house of God. Lord, judgment's not going to begin in the nation. It's not going to begin in Washington. It's going to begin at the house of God. And I believe that's a statement in Scripture that lets us know that you're holding your church accountable. That when judgment is needed, you're going to start with your church. God, get our attention and deal with us, Lord. Lord, when I leave and go back to our church in Tennessee, Lord, I want to be made different. I want to be more challenged. I want to be more stirred as a result of being in at Morning Star for four nights. I don't want to leave here the same way that I came. I don't want to leave here on the same level. God, I want my heart stirred and my life changed. I want to go to another level. Father, that when I mount my pulpit on Sunday morning, the power of God will fall. And Sunday night and Wednesday night, and Lord, the service is forthcoming. Lord, your will would be done. It's one thing to sing, but it's another to sing with the touch and anointing and power. Help those that teach Sunday school, Lord. It's one thing to stand in there and just teach a lesson, but it's another thing to stand in there and have a lesson that has got their attention and got their heart, and their heart is on fire, and they've got a burden and they've got a desire, and it's real to them. Lord, I pray your will to be done. Lord, fill this place with conviction. Please help us tonight. May your will be done in this invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher, you come.